This episode is sponsored in part by Swim. Okay, here's a depressing stat. 70% of shoppers who want your products never actually buy them. They browse, they consider, then they forget. That's revenue walking out the door. Swim Wishlist Plus turns browsers into buyers. Customers save products they want, get notified when prices drop or items restock. You can also engage them in personalized fashion through your marketing or sales outreach. It's like having a personal shopper reminding them to come back and buy from you instead of your competitors. And 45,000 stores already use it, and it only takes 5 minutes to install. You could try it free today for 14 days. Go to getswim.com/Kurt. That's swimwithay.com/Kurt. Turn those maybe laters into sales today. Getswim.com.
Like, I'm trying to find the happy medium between I am not too quiet, but also my nose breathing isn't in it.
Looks like it's okay.
I think so. I don't know.
I just turned the volume up on here. It's Q4. We got Black Friday right around the corner. And we're going to go over some feature updates, both big and small, in Shopify that caught our eye in the last 2 weeks. And my co-host, business partner, Paul Rita, and I are going to go over it. Mr. Rita doing the double guns.
Bang, bang.
Yeah.
That was a little Cactus Jack for anyone that...
Cactus Jack?
That anyone knows that.
Okay, that was Yosemite Sam. So the big one, the first one we should talk about first, the variant limit.
Yeah, Shopify, you can now have 2,048 variants. I think it's 2,048 because that's like a 4-bit. Integer,
yeah,
or like 8-bit something. Like
it's a cool guy number.
It's like a computer word.
It's a computer guy number.
Yeah, it's computer. It's, you know, it's like base 8. I don't know. So yeah, it's 2048 now instead of 100.
Yeah, you do 3 sets of options, but the total combination of them could not exceed 100 in the past. Yeah.
And you still only get 3 sets of options.
Yeah, we've got that still. But now if it was like I had, you know, 10 colors in 10 sizes, and then I tried to add anything else, I was at 100.
Yeah.
I couldn't exceed that. So there were scenarios where we would run into this limit.
Or if you know, more like 20 colors and 5 sizes.
Yeah. More realistically. And so now we've raised that limit. There's some catches to it. But you tested this.
Yeah.
You were playing with this in a dev theme, a dev store.
So there's now actually 2 limits.
Okay.
There's 250, and 250 is, it'll just work. It's going to work 100% the way the old one worked. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to change anything. Your store will work with 250.
Let's go with probably, most likely.
No, I'm reasonably certain 95th percentile, you're fine with 250.
Okay. Which 250... quite a bit bigger than 100.
That's a lot, yeah. Over 250 going up to 2,048, then you're going to get in some trouble.
All right. I know the answer here, but explain it to
all
me.
All right. So I tested so there's Liquid, which is the template logic, which is the template language that Shopify uses when you're writing stuff that where you're directly interacting with the Shopify store and the Shopify code. That's Liquid. Liquid only has access to the first 250.
Okay.
So depending on the recency of your theme, how your theme was written, it might handle over 250 in different ways. It might be fine. It might barf. It might
half work. We've seen that where it's like, okay, technically that works.
Yeah.
But it's not what I wanted.
So yeah, 250, I think you're going to be fine all the time. Because all that changed was there was just an arbitrary line at 100 and they just moved the arbitrary line to 250 with the Liquid code. So like any theme that was obviously using Liquid code in the first place to get that first 100, they're now just going to be able to get the 250. I tried it on 4 different themes. I don't even remember which ones worked and which ones didn't, but you got to check it on yours again if you're going over 250. Some of them worked fine, and it was just like, it's fine. You could just pick the subsequent ones, and it spits it out, and you could buy that You could buy variant number 1000, no problem. Others, it would do a thing where if you kind of counted down to, you know, oh, first we went through all the small blacks, now all the small whites, now all the small, you know, blues of whatever. And then, so if you just count all those numbers, when you got to 251, that one was unavailable. And it was there, like there would be the swatches and the selectors for it, and you could pick, I want to buy this one, but that one's 251, and so it ends up as showing as unavailable in the store, and all the subsequent ones are unavailable. So it's like a pure counting thing, again, over 250.
So Shopify, the admin, you know, the platform says, hey, you could do up to 2048. There's a soft limit at 250, where beyond, like up to previously it was 100, now we go up to 250 variants, or it's SKUs. How many SKUs could you put on a product?
Mm-hmm.
And if we can hit 250, great. They should all support that.
I think they will.
Okay.
I'm betting on it.
Because that immediately covers 99% of my use cases.
Yeah.
But then beyond that, if I'm on, you know, a latest and greatest theme and I'm not going crazy with apps on my product detail page, I could probably go to 2,000 variants. 2048.
It's a function of how it is written, how the theme variant selection code is written. And because you need to use the storefront API to get those subsequent variants. And so if your theme came out 3 years ago before the storefront API existed, it ain't going to work.
Yeah.
And even if your theme came out 2 months ago, but they don't use the storefront API to pull all the variants, they just use like a you know, the standard sort of liquid system, it's also not going to work.
Okay.
So you need to see that.
So this is the thing, just try it and see what happens.
Yeah, you got to try and see what happens over 250. I have not figured out how to use the storefront API because, I mean, we do stuff where we iterate through all the variants. Like, I have a whole thing where when you change variants, Shopify kind of pulls the variant data that you can. There's like a standard payload of variant data that comes along from Shopify when the user changes it. Variant meta fields are not included in that payload.
Okay.
So when we're doing stuff with variant meta fields where it's like, oh, on this variant, the ship time is 2 weeks, but on this variant, the ship time is 1 week. So like we want to change that when they change the variant. Well, bad news, that doesn't come along with the payload. So I got to write my own. I've got a whole snippet that I use all the time that essentially writes my own little problem specific JSON in the template. And then I pull from that JSON and swap the stuff and change stuff as needed. That solution will not work with the new system if it's over 250. So like, I got to figure that out.
Yeah. Well, I think, yeah, the moment you get it over 250, this becomes a much bigger ball of yarn to solve. And so they move to a different system essentially handles this.
Yeah.
That can move faster, but then, you know, we're going from liquid to JavaScript to do this.
Yeah, to like to GraphQL APIs and all this other stuff that it's like, yeah. Well, if you have over 250 variants, you're a big enough boy to be able to handle the rest of this stuff.
Now, if you're editing your theme code, perhaps you do that in the theme editor.
Yes.
And you click edit theme. There has been they quietly pushed out a new theme code editor. And it's VS Code. You know, for people who are not developers, the editor that theme editor uses, that's not Shopify's. That is an existing standard that many of us have seen and grown to love. So what's your opinion of it?
It's change, and I don't like that.
Mm-hmm.
I like that there's integrated theme search now.
That is nice.
It's like, you got to find this stupid snippet that's doing this thing. It's like, okay. So instead of being like, okay, product template. Oh, look, that has two sections in it. It's in this section. Oh, this section has a snippet in it. Okay, it's in this snippet. Okay, this snippet's in another snippet. Gotta go in this. It's just like, oh my God. So at least I could search now. Have you noticed you can't copy and paste in the VS Code?
I have not had that experience. You have to be able to copy and paste.
You cannot copy from inside the VS window. If it's like, oh, look, I want to copy this line up here and paste it 10 lines below, like within the same thing. You can't do that. Right-click, pull up a context menu by right-clicking. Paste is not on it.
Weird. I got to try that.
Yeah, so that, like, annoys me.
It was funny, somebody got tripped up. We had somebody, they're like, hey, just want to upload a file for, it was an old theme, they had a color swatch. I said, I can't find the upload option. It was because VS Code made it too easy. There was no upload. You just drag and drop it. It just works. But I also, I stared at it and was like, oh, there's no upload option. And I had to Google it. So, but I do, I know, it took a little getting used to because it's changed, but I prefer it. And I'm happy to have a theme search built into it. One might think, you know, I've seen some complaints from it online. Again, I think it's just like, hey, this is different. I got to relearn this. Mostly from merchants, because they'll have not probably haven't experienced this thing before, VS Code. What if this change to this is a way to say, hey, here be dragons. You know, don't go messing with the code. If you don't know what you're doing, you're just going to make your life difficult.
I agree with that.
That, yeah.
Fully.
I mean, that's just a theory. I mean, that could be part of the thinking here.
I did a modification for one of our clients where they wanted a 5-step like rewards thing in their cart.
Like a tiered progress bar.
Like a tiered progress bar that was like, all right, and at $30 they get this gift, and at $40 they get this gift, and at $50 they get free shipping and this gift, and then they get, you know, so this whole thing. And so, okay, if it's 2 steps, all right, I can write that and then have like theme settings for it, and they can change the theme settings. Okay, well, now it's 5 steps. And like each step has its own rewards and wording and all this other stuff. So I'm just like, oh, this is just in the template now, dude. Like, I'm not writing you all the tools for this. It's like, well, what if I didn't fill out step 3? Will it still work? If I like, we're getting rid of step 3, but you're going to keep 4 and 5 in there. Like, no, I'm not doing all this for you. So, you know, when I sent it over to them, I was like, yeah, bad news. You want this like 5-step complex thing. If you want to change this or edit it in the future, you need to contact me, or you can go into this file right here and change it yourself. I mean, it's very obvious what you need to change, but don't do it if you don't know what you're doing.
Ever had a customer cancel an order because they were shopping while high, or because they broke up with their significant other? Those are real reasons customers could cancel, and they're a real headache for both you and your customers. Why should they have to email support to change, cancel, or update an order? Enter Cleverific. With Cleverific, your customers can edit their orders themselves through a self-service portal. That means fewer support tickets, faster shipping, and fewer returns. Everybody wins. Peter Manning, New York, cut their order support by 99% with Cleverific. Now it's your turn. Listeners of the Unofficial Shopify podcast get 50% off the Pro Plan. Just $49 a month. Go to cleverific.com/unofficial and use promo code KURT50 at checkout. It's less hassle, happier customers with Cleverific. Next, we have a small but welcome feature change. Unlisted product status. Essentially, your statuses were previously like active draft, archived. Now you get unlisted. It is a hidden product status. In the past, we've had to do this a lot where it's like, I've got a warranty item that gets added. I've got shipping insurance. I've got a free gift. How do I keep it from showing up in the store? And then I would say, well, we're going to tag it hidden, and then Paul's going to worry about what happens after that.
Yeah.
What would you usually do?
Well, usually then I'd like, well, some themes would support it out of the box if like a product was tag hidden. Other themes would not, in which case I would have to go and be like, all right, for like the collection listing, like if the products are tagged hidden, if product tags contains hidden, you know, skip it. And then like in the cart. Like for the search, like in the search loop, anywhere. Oh, there's search results. If the product tag contains hidden, skip it. Then in like the predictive search results, I'd have to go into that and like screw with that. You know, if it's in the cart items.
If we didn't want it to show up in Google, I would then add a liquid statement to be like robots, a meta tag called robots that speaks to search engine. It'd be like robots, no index, comma, do follow.
Yeah.
Meaning, hey, you can index the site starting from here, but you can't include this one page even though you found it. And that's all built into it now. Like switching to unlisted hides from search collection channels accessible via the direct URL, which is what we want. And their description of the examples were exactly the use case we would use it for.
Yeah,
like free gift add-ons and stuff.
I'm wondering how they implement that. And I'm wondering what level of theme support is going to be needed. Because for a lot of those, it's like there's a flag on a product. A product has a state, and the state of that product is available. And if is it available? Yes, no. So a product that has zero inventory and stops selling when inventory is zero, obviously not available. If a product inventory is zero but continues selling when inventory is sold out, that product is available. you know, if a product.
I suspect this stuff happens in the admin and the theme can see the status, but it otherwise appears like an active product.
But what I'm saying is, yeah, okay, this should show up in the collection listing, and the collection listings are like, you know, if it's a draft product, it's obviously not available. So all these, I assume these products are not going to be listed as available. So if they're not listed as available, how can they go through checkout and end up in the cart?
Well, checkout's handled by Shopify, not the theme.
Shopify, so they could like look at that state maybe.
Yeah, I think the theme doesn't have to do anything different because the theme is just asking the Shopify admin to return products on a query. And so I think the Shopify admin is what skips over this product. So if it's like, hey, I need the collection loop, it knows to skip over the unlisted. Hey, I need to return these search results. It's not going to include that unlisted product. But if it's like, hey, I got to render this template, I have to add this to cart, then it just sees it as an active product.
All right. Well, we'll see.
Yeah, my educated guess is the workaround occurs in the admin, not actually in the Shopify theme.
Well, I just wonder if it's like, if it's via APIs and stuff, can then, we talked about it a couple weeks ago, there's the credit card bots that try to find the $2 products on your store and add them to cart. Does this stop them?
Because it says it takes it out of the sitemap and it adds no index.
Okay.
So in theory, a product mark unlisted, even though if I give you the link, you could just go buy it. It should not be indexed by any search engine, and it's going to make it a lot tougher to discover it if I can't just get it out of the sitemap. And so if that's the case, I think you probably stop the majority of these bots because it'd be a ton more effort for them to find it. Like, they'd have to go to the site and then manually crawl it, which is a lot of work.
So going back to my variant limit, all right, we got to use the storefront API. Well, now the storefront, in order to do that, the storefront API doesn't require a login anymore because, you know, you can't do this whole thing where it's like, well, everyone that wants to, like, access these extra variants, they need to make an account to, like, mess with this store and all this other stuff. Like, there's just loginless storefront API access now. Is there a way for malicious actors to get loginless storefront API access so they could then look at the full store catalog?
Probably not. I mean, given...
I don't know enough about that.
Yeah. I'm thinking that they've got this under control.
I'm just making stuff up.
So, the other one that's, you know, minor, but this is one of the ones where you go, oh, I'm surprised that they already have this. If you've got the B2B offering, which is part of Shopify Plus, and a big part of why people go to Shopify Plus is this dedicated, you know, B2B options and wholesale. For wholesale, you can accept ACH payments. Previously, you know what I'd do? I would just make a manual payment gateway called ACH, and then you'd have to, like, the order would just pop up as unpaid. And then someone would have to go track down and make sure the payment came through. That was my workaround. Now we have official ACH payment gateway, but it's specifically for B2B. But if you think about, you know, like wholesale, oftentimes that stuff's on terms. They're placing the order, but they're not necessarily paying for it at that same time. So like that sounds a little goofy, but with B2B and wholesale, that's just, you know, par for the course. You know, only limitation though, it's US only. I mean, it's very much a US Shopify North American centric. You would expect some of these things to kind of
I remember when they added like all the various ShopPay payment gateways and stuff at Unite one year, they talked about how different countries just kind of have different payment methods.
It's true.
Like America's like, well, you buy it with a credit card. That's how you buy things online. And I think it was in Germany that they were like, oh no, everyone uses ACH in Germany.
Yeah, I would get, even so though we
like,
see
I
this.
I wonder if like German Shopify's had ACH this whole time.
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, they're very good about localizing payments to like whatever that, you know, the country's preference is. So for sure, even though I'm excited, you know, the US B2B customers on Plus get ACH payment as a method. I'm sure there's other countries that are like, yeah, we had that. okay. So we got, we have our retainer clients. And I thought it'd be for one of them, Tactical Baby Gear. I said, man, let me just export the products from your top sellers and analyze them. And so I exported them, and my whole intent, of course, is like run it through AI. I'm gonna put it through Claude and be like, all right, I want to know my unique selling propositions, uncover pain points we don't know about, et cetera, et cetera. But before I even got that far, I'm just looking at the spreadsheet, and in there it shows you the source. And the source was always one of two things. Follow-up email was 70% of it.
The source of the review.
Yes.
Where they got the review from.
Yes.
All right.
So person makes a purchase. 14 days later is the standard. They get an email. Hey, write a review. 99% of people ignore that email. Then one or a week, 10 days, 2 weeks after that, they get a follow-up email. That's the one that generates the reviews.
But I feel like maybe if you got rid of the first one, though, maybe would the second one get ignored 99% of the time?
You know, and I only did this for this one store.
Yeah.
And so the question is like, well, is this the store or is this weird simply asking for the reviews too early? I think that this is a thing. Optimizing for getting reviews is a thing I started thinking about in the last several months. And so I'll look at stores and I think everybody sends their reviews too early. I do. I think it takes time. Like, it shows up and you're like, yeah, I got it. But, like, I haven't opened it. I'm busy.
I don't know. For me, 2 weeks, it's like you're still in the honeymoon stage. Like, they got it. They're still excited.
Well, that's what we're going for. I think it's so dependent on the product. Like, you send me a t-shirt. I get it 3 days later. I wear it. I'm like, it fits. It's comfortable. I'm happy. Done. But for a product, it's like, I got to learn it. I got to play with it. You know, I think. Or especially like gift product. It's like, oh, they haven't even opened it yet. I think there's a lot of opportunity to gather more social proof for stores just by messing with the timing on these emails. And I think for most stores, it's like, hey, whatever you got now, add a week to it and see what happens. The other thing that was wild to me, the number two source, shop. The shop app.
Yeah.
The shop app by default, I believe it's got to be based on the number of stores I've seen where this occurs. It asks for product reviews and it gets them. Like, whatever it's doing, maybe it's because it's push notifications, I don't know, but it is successful at gathering reviews. And then many of these review apps now support syndicating those reviews from shop back into the store automatically. And so that, like, check to make sure have that turned on.
I understand. Yeah, that makes sense now. It's not like the shop app has Judge Me installed on it.
No.
So the reviews that people do of you on the shop app are a completely separate set of reviews.
Yep.
And but so those needs to get ingested into your store somehow.
Yes. That feature, you're looking at review apps, you know, now that I noticed this and just like turning this on for a whole bunch of stores, it seems like a majority of review apps just already have this feature, you know, in there.
I can see
and
Shopify,
often it's toggled on.
I could see Shopify making that a requirement to be in the app store for like a reviews app.
Yeah, for a reviews app. Yeah. It's like, hey, we had a store. The guy's like, oh, I want to do reviews. I said, great. You would love it. You need reviews. You know, the only thing that sucks is you're new, so you don't have them. He'd been on shop the whole time. Didn't even know it was gathering reviews. The man was so thrilled. I was like, hey, you know, I put up the reviews. It's on the site and good news. You already have some. He had no idea. I was just like, so he was ecstatic. Here's a word from our sponsors at Zipify. Black Friday's coming and so's the squeeze. Every year, the same thing. Ad cost balloon. Customers want 40% off everything, and your margins get crushed. But there's a fix. Boost your average order value before the chaos hits. One-click upsell does exactly that, increasing AOV by up to 30% with AI-powered upsells across your entire customer journey. Launch upsells for every product in one click. Customers see personalized offers and spend more automatically. Unlike other apps, you only pay for results, not views, so you keep more profit. Takes under 2 minutes to set up and starts working immediately. Don't let this traffic season slip by without maximizing every sale. Go to zipify.com/Kurt for your 30-day free trial. That's zipify.com/KURT. Turn this into your most profitable Black Friday yet.
That shop app is crazy, man. Like, it has reached cultural penetration in a way.
Yes.
Because in the last week, I've had two independent people, just like normal people I'm talking
normies?
To. Normies?
Not e-commerce psychos?
Two normies in my day-to-day life.
Consumers.
Yeah, two consumers. Not like me, though. I don't buy stuff.
Yeah.
In my day-to-day life, who like knew what I did? And we were talking, and then they were like, is that like that shop app too? Or that's different, right? That's not Shopify. And I'm like, no, the shop app is... That's Shopify. That's a fire hose of all Shopify stores catalogs. And they're like, oh, really? Is that what that is? Because like when you think about Shopify is, it's kind of B2B. It's B to potential B. You want to be a B. And so you start a
Shopify. You call it a
bee. You're a bee. And then you start a Shopify store and they are a bee and then you're now a bee. And these people that are C's, mm-hmm. That is Shopify to them is the shop app, which they have no idea is Shopify.
Yeah, well, clearly, I think, you know, that shop as branding is consumer facing. Shopify,
which come
is,
on. You can't know, just call it
business entrepreneur facing.
You can't call an app shop. Get out of here.
They did it and it's working. For as many times as we've made
here.
Fun of this.
How dare you?
Now, you know, clearly it's working out for them.
But yeah, they're just random people are like, is that shop? That's not Shopify, is it? Because this is the shop app. This is its own special thing. It's an app for shopping. I was like, that is Shopify. Yes.
Yeah, that's theirs. Yeah, no, actually, the shop app's pretty useful, you know, because it tracks orders, but it'll connect your Gmail and it'll pull deliveries beyond just what you're getting through Shopify stores. I like it.
I love that your use case for it being useful is for shipping tracking. Yes, that's the problem that desperately needs to be solved. Not people wanting to buy things. No, who cares? I just got to track all my shipments.
Okay, yes. I'm really revealing the level of perfectionism I live by. Yes, that's what I'm interested in. I like the tracking. That's my favorite part. Well, okay, so with Shop App, that's the other missed opportunity, is you really could fill that thing out and make it look nice. And it's that sales channel is already in your Shopify store.
I mean, it's free money.
Yeah.
You just turn it on and Shopify just has your catalog and they put it in the
app. It's got to be on by default.
And people buy stuff off the app. Like, do you want free money? Okay.
I do. I do want free money. No, I like that app. No, increasingly, Shopify does such a good job of leveraging the network effects of having all these stores. And like, there's more features coming down the pipe that are going to do more of this. Like, being able to advertise in your collections for other stores, et cetera. You know, like Shopify becoming its own ad platform. We're seeing this a little bit.
Why am I doing that?
Because you want to get traffic to your store from them as well. And like in theory, you're going to get paid out for this click.
I'm not sending them to another store if they're on my store. Get the hell out of here.
There's third-party ones that'll put ads on the thank you page. They already purchased from you. So then run that ad, and then they're running ads for you. It's a win-win. I don't know that we have any client stores that do it yet, or if they've tried it, you know, for a little while, and then you know they want to try some other thank you page widget. But I'm definitely curious, you know, about this larger leveraging of the network of stores.
No comment.
But like, you know, that ease of login and ease of payment.
Yes.
Like work if I'm purchased from one store with Shop, now I could just easily do it with all other stores. And then like these stores could drop ship from each other with Collective, which I think is the coolest thing.
Did they do that? Did they ever end up implementing that like lookalike audience advertising thing?
Yeah, Shopify audiences.
Yeah, there you go.
I got Shopify audiences. There's other examples too. And I think there's one where like they're trying to leverage the Collective info to get better at fraud filtering. I believe that's happening. Now, don't quote me on it.
Well, if you're buying a bunch of $1 products at one store, they will ban you from all the other stores as well, hopefully.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, it's like, this guy only does $1 purchases. Just get out of here, scumbags. Yeah, those fraud purchases. Fortunately, you know, that Shopify's got that fraud protection app. That's very useful for automating it, where you just block the stuff. Like, once you've identified someone as a fraudster, which Shopify Flow will do it, then you turn around and add them as you create a fraud rule, and then they don't even complete the checkout, right? Then like we don't have to deal with the hassle of cancel the order, refund, restock.
Mm-hmm.
All right, there's a design pattern. Before we go into, you're about to go into Black Friday, there's a design pattern I noticed that gets consistent results. It's like a lot of these sites, home hero, and then below that, you put either a featured collection or featured promos.
It'll be like collections. It'll be like three collections, the three main collections that we'll have on the store.
Yeah.
Like shirts, hats, backpacks, done.
Yes. Yeah, if I think of my homepage, I want to think about that as like, it's as a catalog. And I've got, what do I feature as first, second thing? Almost always it's hero images the first thing, which I don't think you necessarily need, but for the holidays, good for messaging. Just don't make it too tall.
Well, yeah, it's good for messaging to be like, Christmas sale, everything 30% off, you know?
Yeah. And then after that, I think you want to have a featured collection of like, here are the things to click on, which are related to the hero, you know, that you should click on. But in all these heat maps I've been looking at, the theme will often have an option where it's like under the title, include a view all link. And the view all link just goes to whatever that featured collection is. In the heat map, that stupid view all link ends up being the most clicked on thing on the site, or at least on the homepage. And so my optimization has been, A, one, include it, and two, restyle it as a button instead of a text link. They're just more likely to click on it. I just got to get them off this homepage to a product or collection.
I wonder if there's something to, like, generally those collections maybe we'll have, we'll show 12 products. What if we showed more?
And then do you show it stacked or you do it in a ribbon?
I hate
the
ribbon.
Is it a carousel?
No, stacked. Hate the ribbon.
I think it
I've
really...
The ribbon, because it's like, they move so slow. Sometimes you got to hold it.
Oh, those are the worst. Scroll jacking.
And when you click it, sometimes it moves one, and sometimes it moves like three.
Yep.
Instead of dealing with something that I don't know what the hell this dumb button's going to do, I'm just going to click on view all and get the hell out of here.
Well, I think the answer is that it should work the way Amazon does. And they do. They do the ribbons instead of stacking them. The only time they stack is if you're in like a searcher kit.
What do they know?
What could Amazon possibly know about e-commerce?
They don't know. I know.
The fools. I sell pet supplies. I must know better.
Well, what if you just got rid of the hero image? My dream.
I love getting rid of the hero image. And then, like, what if we split test it? It either makes no difference or it doesn't do as well.
Oh, that's right. We did do a split test of it. And I was like, come on.
It's because they expect the stupid hero image to be there.
I know.
Even if it's like, we're just scrolling past this.
Yeah, it's the consumer's fault.
Ah, the consumers. They're like locusts.
They're dumb. The C's. Stupid C's.
You would never read a hero image. You are a B.
Of course not. Yeah, I'm a B. I'm not a C.
This guy's a real A. Of these theme updates, my favorite, unlisted status. Because, free gift with purchase, my favorite promo, and this is what this is for.
That's
my free
true.
Gift with the, purchase
you
product.
You want to hide that free, you need to hide your free gifts. So
gets
people
that
can
unlisted
still buy
status.
Them. Yeah.
Yeah. So when they brought that out, I was thrilled to see it. But the thing I should be most excited about is having that variant limit like solidly increased, even if it's just consistently 250. That's great, right? 2.5 times what I had at 100. The 100 variant limit has been a very famous limitation of Shopify, supposedly based on what, CEO Toby's described as a poor early code choice on his part. And so they're thrilled to have worked around it for everybody now. But yeah, no, I'm glad it's there. It's exciting. It's always been that way the whole time I've used Shopify. I'm so used to working around it. In my head, a product could not conceivably have more than 100 SKUs. Absurd, right? So that's why I'm going with the unlisted status as my favorite update here. Any preferences?
Nah, I'm fine.
Fine. Even really, not even the theme editor didn't get you excited. No more fighting with janky search extensions.
The search is good.
Yeah,
that's it. But then the other part where you're kind of like, okay, can I like look at it? And sometimes it closes. Sometimes you open one file and then you click on a second file you would also like to have open, and it closes the first one. And then when it opens the second one, it's like, thanks, I kind of wanted that one too.
Hey,
but it's helping you focus. That only happens sometimes.
I think it's user error. Maybe you're clicking wrong. We'll have to research this.
I'm a B. How dare you?
Yes, very important B. And on that note, we'll end it there. If you enjoyed the show, leave a review or join our Facebook group, Unofficial Shopify Podcast Insiders. Happy to have you. Mr. Rita, any closing thoughts?
How many times are you going to ask me?
I don't know. I'm waiting for you to do something funny.
No.
Do a little dance for me. Dance, monkey.
No.
No? All right, we'll end it there. See you guys. Crowdfunding campaigns are great. You can add social proof and urgency to your product pre-orders while reducing risk of failure. But with traditional crowdfunding platforms, you're paying high fees and giving away control, all while your campaign is lost in a sea of similar offers. It can be frustrating. That's why we built Crowdfunder, the Shopify app that turns your Shopify product pages into your own independent crowdfunding campaigns. We originally created Crowdfunder for our private clients, And it was so successful, we turned it into an app that anyone can use. Today, merchants using Crowdfunder have raised millions collectively. With Crowdfunder, you'll enjoy real-time tracking, full campaign control, and direct customer engagement. And it's part of the Built for Shopify program, so you know it's easy to use. So say goodbye to high fees and hello to successful store-based crowdfunding. Start your free trial and transform your Shopify store into a pre-order powerhouse today. Search Crowdfunder in the Shopify App Store to get started.